The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin. You got a bowl of cereal?
No, it's to put my, you know, I bring my own tea bags.
Right, so okay.
I don't like the old people.
Okay.
So I thought, rather than splash your lovely desk.
Right.
John's coming. The kettle took a long time to boil.
Right, okay. Right. What I need you to do, Jules, is I need you to read this email that you've been threatening to read. But you can't now because you put everything over on the top of it.
No, I can.
I'm going to read this one now.
All right, then.
Yeah. The new flexible working rules will come into force on the 6th of April. And these are the key changes you need to know. Yeah. And these are some really big changes that are going to have massive effect on small businesses. Yeah.
Are they for the good or for the bad or the ugly?
All depends which way you're coming from. Mm. Day one, the right to request flexible working from the first day you start work. Employees can propose changes to their working hours, start and finish times, or the location in which they work twice a year. Okay. Employers must provide a clear and solid reason when declining a flexible working request. A reduction from 3 to 2 months for employers to deal with and respond to the request. The onus is no longer on employees to explain how their flexible working request won't disrupt the business. Employers must engage in dialogue with the employee before declining a flexible working request. Preparation is key, and employers need to be prepared to handle the changes that will come with requests from employees. If you want help or further information and support, you can contact Maria Wilson at Saxon HR Consultancy. Let me give you her email address. It's maria.wilson@saxonhrconsultancy.co.uk. So thank you to Maria for that. 6th of April, that starts. Going to create mayhem, isn't it?
It really does.
I'm a great believer in flexible working, and all the places I own here are all about flexible working. But, you know, sometimes you've got to be sensible. Yeah. How can you demand to work somewhere else if you've only got one office? I mean, it's, you know, okay, you can demand to work from home, but. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was having a chat with my son, Shay, who works for a company, big company in you know, international, helps small businesses with payments, you know the one.
Yeah.
And he said, in fact, his girlfriend Mimi was saying, they haven't got children yet, but he says all their staff will say, oh, don't call me at 3 o'clock because I'm on the school run. You know, things have really changed for mums with kids, yeah. Which is really, really good. Because when I had kids, I had to give up my job at ICI because every time I was going into a meeting or travelling, one of the kids was ill. It was all, you know, always getting a call from school and temperature or whatever. So it was really, really difficult. And now it's great that there's flexible. But you kind of wonder for the young people and or the older people that don't have children, how it feels when they're sort of in the office and they... they're not allowed that sort of 3 p.m. break or whatever, you know. I don't know. It's good, it's positive, but is it causing a bit of angst with those that can say, right, don't call me during the school run and I'm bathing the kids?
I'm a great fan of flexibility, yeah, and I think...
when was the last time you touched your toes?
Toes? What toes? I'm a great fan of flexibility in the workplace, but you also have to be sensible. And one of the problems we have with politicians making rules is they're not very good at thinking, because most of them are imbeciles. Yeah. And what they don't understand is in a company that manufactures goods, for instance, being flexible would involve turning off the production line and going home. And you can't do that. It's like working from home. That's what causes a lot of the problems. Those office-based staff that could work from home demand to work from home, and everybody else can't. So they get very antagonistic about it because it's not fair on them.
On the plus side, Mimi, who hasn't had any children yet, has just been promoted twice. So, you know, and I did say to her, what's going to happen when you do have children? Because she's got a very high-powered job. Mm. We've all been there. And she said, well, you're going to look after the grandchildren, aren't you? As I was just packing my rucksack to go to Zoom, you know.
It's still, I mean, if you want to talk about women at work, back in the 80s, I worked for a very, very, very well-known investment bank. And
You can mention their name. You've said it before 100 times.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's immaterial. It was Goldman Sachs, but so what?
You had to get him out.
It doesn't matter. The point was, I had a project. So they asked me to understand why we lost so many high-flying women in their 30s. That's a little bit obvious, don't you think?
Yeah.
And they went, yeah, but we want to know for sure. We want to know why we're losing them from the horse's mouth. So I interviewed a lot of people that have been very high-flying business women with the bank and who had subsequently left. And 90% of them had left to start families,
yeah,
basically. So, you know, the answer was we need to invest in creches, nursery, support for these people because they leave at the peak of their career.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may come back to the workforce in 6 or 7 years' time when the children start school, but banking is a fast-moving business, and then they've basically lost all that inertia. They've lost all their contacts, yeah, and they effectively have to start from scratch, and it's not worth it. So the bank was very good at trying to handle that. It's not an easy thing to do, but we don't make it easy for people to do that, and we don't make it easy for people to hop in and out of careers.
But there again, being a mum is probably the best job I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I don't resent the time I spent out. Mm. But, yeah, you're going to lose. And, you know that some young girl is going to come in and take your job and probably do just as good a job without children.
I just got a phone call and I for a funny...
Is your child ill?
No, listen. I was tempted to put it on air. Yeah, John would like this because it's some bloke that spent the last 4 days ringing me from various numbers in America. Yeah, trying to pretend his name's Keith. Hello, my name is Keith. Yeah, and I want to talk to you about your energy. And I go, why are you ringing me from Columbus, Ohio?
Did you say your energy's quite low at the moment?
Yeah, yeah. So I've been blocking the numbers, and he's just tried to call again, but this time from Texas.
You can block away.
And
I was just talking to John in the green room as we were making our tea, weren't we, John, about the Dr. Sadiq yesterday. So he wanted to make my mum an appointment for the scan that we had today. And the rigmarole, the time waste that he had to do, Paul. So he said, this is quite long-winded. So he gets his trim phone, dup, 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 and he's on the phone. And my mum and I are sitting there and he's going, scan department. I'm sorry, I don't understand. Scan department. Please say again, I don't understand. Scan department. I'm sorry, I don't understand. Operator. I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Operator. And I'm by this time screaming in the background, operator! You know, my mum's going, operator! And he said, you have to say it 3 times to get to the operator. I was saying to John, he is wasted. This is a doctor with like queues of people queuing up.
You get that all the time, don't you? It's like my sat-nav two nights ago. I can't remember. I was out in the middle of nowhere, and I thought, right, I want to go home now. So I said to my sat-nav, Tenterden. And they went, Tenterden, Ohio? Or no, Tenterden. Yeah. And I couldn't make them understand. So I went, Headcorn. They went, OK, we'll take you to Headcorn.
But John,
I know my way from there.
But, John, what would you do with that sort of system? Don't you think for a doctor, a top doctor who's busy, to be even making those appointments, isn't there a way you could just...
Whole NHS
Penny.
System.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But it's going to take years, isn't it, to change that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The infrastructure and the setup within the NHS is huge. Mm. You know, whoever gets that opportunity is a blessing and a curse, I think.
Yeah.
But there are things that can plug in alongside what's currently there.
Yeah.
So you don't have to change everything to start making a difference.
I was expecting that he could just type on a screen to get an appointment or... ask an underling even, I don't know.
The key is, and obviously without getting too technical, partly because I'm not very technical, but is having the systems to have open APIs to be able to talk to the new system. So, for instance, if we used EasyChat as an example, we can talk to any system. So we will develop it so that we can send information into and pull information out of any other third-party system.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of these NHS systems would have been built so many years ago that to go and develop the APIs needed to connect to things like ours, that's many man hours and many thousands of pounds to do it. So there has to be the drive, the determination and the necessity. The thing is, we know there's necessity because efficiency is a problem.
Mm.
So everybody is wasting time. If you started to quantify and monetize the wasted time, it would be frightening.
Here's where they could do something straight away. My old mum, last year, got a letter for an appointment at Maidstone Hospital, okay? And in the letter, there was a big thing that said, if you cannot make this appointment, please call the cancelled appointment line. Mm-hmm. And it gave you a phone number for the cancelled appointment line, mm-hmm. okay? For whatever reason, I can't remember why, my mum couldn't make it. So I phoned the cancelled appointment line. A lady answered the phone, and I said, really sorry, I need to cancel this appointment. She said, you can't do that. And I said, why? She said, because I can't do that here. And I went, you're the cancel appointment line. Yes, I know, but this is for a consultant and we don't handle consultants. So what is the point in printing it on a letter and sending it to me, yeah, when you can't do anything about it? That's automating that is one of the simplest things you could possibly do, isn't it?
So simple. So much time saved. Yeah. And you know, this isn't about replacing people's jobs. It's there to help people with a level of expertise use their expertise.
Absolutely.
You know, if you've got people who are qualified doing menial tasks, then they're going to be less enthused to do it.
Yeah.
You're wasting the training that you provide to them to make sure that they can actually do the job they're supposed to be doing. When you can automate it, and but it's all about knowledge. It's about knowing how to implement it.
Yeah.
You can't just go, right, we need it. We need somebody, you know, like myself or other people to actually say, okay, you need it, but let me show you how it's needed.
And absolutely.
Where it's needed.
Yeah.
You can't just turn it on.
No, absolutely. You need a system behind it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the other thing, I mean, we've become so sort of deadened to these long waits. You almost go to A&E. You know, when I go now, I take water,
sleeping
coffee.
You know
it's going to be like 20 hours, 10 hours. Today, all these people were muttering, I've been here 10 hours, and it wasn't A&E, it was the other bit. But why can't they give you a system like you get at Costa Coffee, where they give you a ticket or an app on your phone, for those that have got smartphones, that says come back in 10 hours. You could go home, have your lunch, have a sleep, and come back at the allotted time within an hour. But
I think you just hit the nail on the head without realising it. A bit like going back into people think they want to deal with humans, not AI. We would all deal with waiting 10 hours if we were informed as to what was happening.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So if you were sat there and you knew the wait time, and of course...
You could go and sit outside on a bench.
You can deal with it. What you don't want to do is leave the waiting area, come back and have missed your name and go up to the bottom of the queue.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is a series of anxiousness.
Yeah.
And because of that, the 10 hours or the 5 hours or even an hour becomes a problem.
Yeah. Mm.
If there was a better way of communicating what was happening and when it was happening, then everybody would be at peace with it or more at peace with it.
Which is why, John, there's all these, when you go on to try and cancel, as Paul was saying, the first thing you hear when you're being held is in a queue to try and cancel your appointment is our staff have the right to be spoken to properly. If we are abused, we will put the phone down, da da da. Same on the reception there. When I went in, you know, if you shout at the staff, we have the right to call security. But people are ill, they're tired, they're hungry, and they're worried. And they've been there too long. So, of course, people go, how long am I waiting? You know, my mum's been here, she's dying. There was a woman lying on the floor yesterday, lying on the floor, rolling around the floor. And I said to my mum, can't they put her in a side ward? Where is the dignity? There's no dignity.
I did, 20 years ago, I did a 2-year assignment into NHS Trust looking at their processes.
That's why you lost your hair.
The processes that they have today are as bad as they were then, which is atrocious. They're not patient focused. They don't handle patients through the system. It's all about ticking their own boxes. And that's the problem with a lot of what they do or don't do. And they don't communicate. They don't communicate anything to you. You know, they don't tell you what's happening. They don't, you know, even if you ask, a lot of them just shrug their shoulders and go, I don't know. Yeah. And you go, well, how will I find out? I don't know. Just wait. Someone will see you.
You're lucky if you can find someone to tell you.
Exactly.
That was my experience in Ashford.
Yeah. So, opportunities there. And as you said, you know, it's not even taking someone's job, it's making people more effective, making them more productive because they can actually get on with their job.
But reducing the anxiety, I think, is a really key point. So that was one of Uber's unique selling points, that you could track your taxi because people are anxious about where is it, when's it getting. Same principle, isn't it? You're anxious, you're tired, you're stressed, whatever,
yeah.
there's no communication. It's one of the, for me, it's one of the fundamental problems with the NHS.
Yeah.
They do not communicate properly, so we all get
frustrated. Yeah, and between angry. Each department, they don't communicate properly either. To each other, they don't.
Well, they don't have the systems that are compatible from hospitals to GPs to, you know, my mum's medical records in Ashford was nothing like reality. It was just scary.
Very quickly, my mum was in Tunbridge Rehabilitation Hospital. And they were ready to send her home, okay? And they said, we want to send your mum home, but we're a bit worried that she can, you know, she might have another fall. So we'd like to put in place an overnight care package for 3 nights. Great. Fantastic. Organise it. And they came back to me 2 hours later and they went, yeah, you live in Tenterton. I went, what's that got to do with the price of eggs? They said, well, you're the carer and it's you that's getting the respite. Yeah, but my mum lives in Headcorn. They're not coming to my house. They're coming to my mum's house. Yes, but you're not in the same trust as your mum, so we can't do this.
I think that's fundamental to the fact it's the system that's failing the good people of the NHS. Like the person who spoke to you in the first place knew how she had or they had to help you.
Yeah,
they've gone away to action it, and actually the system has then failed the person at the front end.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're feeling the anxiety as patients, as people trying to give care, and the people trying to do their job are feeling the same.
Yeah.
Because they want to provide patient care. They want to provide customer
service.
Why they
go into the health service. Yeah.
But everything that's sat behind them doesn't allow them
absolutely.
To do it.
Absolutely.
And they would love nothing more than to agree with us on so many things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you get the feeling that they are so used to it that they're almost deadened to it. Immune, and that's why they've almost got this...
Well, you can't go to work day after day and think this is a stupid system and then see all these people suffering and there's nothing you can do about it. You drive yourself mad if you try to fix it yourself.
When I went to A&E at Ashford with my mum, the paramedics were amazing.
Yeah.
We went into A&E. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it. I burst into tears and I turned to the paramedics and I said, I don't know how you do what you do. Your care has been fantastic. You're now going to leave an 89-year-old woman in this.
Yeah.
There was sick,
bedlam,
blood, people.
Yeah. People sitting
lots
by the
of mental
toilets
health
on
patients,
the floor. Yeah.
It, you know, which for a 89, 90-year-old woman, very stressful,
doesn't
understand what's going on. I mean, it was just, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's third world now.
It is.
Utterly. Same when I went.
Let's
we need another whole show.
Yeah. No, we don't. Excuse me.
Where's your mute button?
We haven't got one.
Okay.
I want to talk to Penny now about Kenwood Trust and all the things that they do over at Kenwood. So, Penny, thanks for coming back and joining us again. We talked to you about your rollout of Easy Chat earlier on, but let's go back to basics and talk about, you did give us a quick introduction to Kenwood Trust. So give us a bit more in depth. Tell us a little bit about the gorgeous premises that you occupy there in Yalding, and a bit of history to the Trust, and then we'll kind of talk about everything else from there.
So the history of the Trust is it's been operating for 55 years, set up by Mr. and Mrs. Sinden, essentially, initially to support homeless people coming out of London, actually.
Right.
But quickly developed into a drug and alcohol support centre. And so for 55 years has been looking after people on site in a residential setting. We now run 12 steps as well as a therapeutic community programme. And as you say, beautiful surroundings, 15 acres, Georgian house. So the program involves group work, counselling, as well as we have a wood workshop, pottery, art studio and horticulture as all part of the program.
Right. So really hands-on stuff, which is so
important. And one of the stories I often tell people is that many of our residents haven't done certain activities like that for years. So the art studio in particular, you'll get people who have huge talent for painting, drawing, and they'll say, I haven't done anything like this since I was at primary school. Mm. So it's, I think it's got a very therapeutic environment.
Yep.
A few years ago, I bought some alpacas, which people thought I was absolutely nuts. And the alpacas, for me, are a sort of key point that goes across our support service. So our residents walk them. It's therapeutic, walking in the grounds with animals. But also, as a charity, we need to fundraise. So the alpacas were one of the key features that we put alongside our conference room and our cafe as an activity that people could come and do, and that obviously helps raise money for us.
Absolutely. So let's move away from the therapeutic side to the entertainment side, because as you say, it is a big money raiser for you. Let's look at some of those things. You offer event space, basically, for conferences and seminars?
Yes. So, as you say, fundraising for our type of charity is very hard. I think there's a much better understanding of the sort of work that we do now. But in years gone by, people were reluctant to support people with addiction. And I think now there is a better understanding that it's all walks of life. We really are worth helping raise money for. So we opened a cafe and a conference room. The conference room holds 80 people in a theatre setting, or 60 in cabaret style. We have a full kitchen, offer hot and cold buffets. But particularly since the pandemic, we've increased our activities. So what I'm keen to say to businesses is, if you want to bring your teams back together, you've got a lot more working from home. We can do activities as well as a conference. So yeah, use the room, have some lunch, walk the alpacas. We have archery on site, and we also have disc golf, which is like golf, but you throw a frisbee into a chain basket. We've got a 9-hole course around the grounds, through the woods.
You're an official course of the UK disc golf
tour
as well, aren't you?
Yes, it's a growing sport. And everyone that participates loves it. Yeah. So come on down.
Yeah, absolutely. And as well as the alpacas, you've got a couple of goats.
We have, yes.
Yeah, that you can walk.
You can walk.
They're quite docile, aren't they?
They are, they're lovely.
Do you do anything with the goat milk? Have you got farming yet?
No, they're quite old.
Okay, lovely. So you sort of rescued the goats.
I did indeed, yes. Someone I knew had a petting zoo, and she couldn't find a home for the goats because they were very elderly. Mm. So, yes, I took them.
Have you got chickens yet?
We had chickens for a while, but
did they misbehave?
Well, they have red mites, which were difficult for the alpacas. So we found the chickens a really good home.
Oh. Not in your oven, I hope.
No. Promise you, went to a good home.
So there are also lots of activities throughout the year that you do. You know, you do Christmas fairs and things like that. And regular events, like coffee mornings for fundraising, coffee and cake mornings. But you also have the classic car show.
We have. So over the years, unfortunately, again, the pandemic meant we stopped doing our events for a year. But we've been doing a classic car show now for probably 5 years.
Yeah.
We have classics and coffee on the third Sunday of each month as well.
21st of April, the next one.
It is indeed. Yeah. Been wonderful to see so many people coming out with their classic cars, even in some of the bad weather that we've had.
And motorcycles. And motorcycles. Any classic vehicles allowed.
Yes. And so we have our classic car show in May coming up. And alongside that, we normally have a Christmas fair and sort of other open days from time to time, essentially trying to get new people to visit the beautiful grounds and realise that it's worth coming back for.
It's a very peaceful environment. It's hard to express until you've been there. It's just one of those things. When you drive onto the site, you almost immediately relax. Do you know what I mean? It's just a very peaceful place to be.
And we've had our drive fixed. When you say driving on the site, yes.
Oh, wow.
Our estate manager did an amazing job and dug out all the streams. Colin.
Oh, Colin, yes.
And we've got two drainage things in the road, so yeah.
Can you give us a good story about, without mentioning names, obviously, about someone that you've helped who's perhaps come in and then gone into your residency and had help and perhaps how they've come out the other end?
I
was going to say, a while back you did have a program where a couple of addicts had come along and spoken about their journey and their rehabilitation.
Yeah, we've we do twice a year a recovery conference where people come back and talk. I mean, there's several stories I'll quickly mention. One chap, he's now a presenter on ITV, actually, and he used to drink 2 litres of vodka a day. His liver was really on the edge of collapse. He found recovery and is now, you know, amazing career and is very happy to. And that, I think that's the wonderful thing. In the last 5 years, so many more people now are talking about without embarrassment, encouraging people that there's hope. Yeah. And that you can overcome it. And I think that is fantastic. Quick story on a young girl that went through our program. She then stayed at one of our move-on houses and then came back and worked in the cafe as a volunteer for quite a while. And now she's gone back to her family. And she had very little confidence. And I think, the core thing that we tend to help people with is believe in themselves again, give them hope, give them strength, and believe that they're worth it.
Yeah.
And that's a real strong message.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's also taking, working front of house in a cafe takes confidence, doesn't it?
So one of my key workers stopped me, it's a few weeks ago now, and he pointed to her. She was working in the cafe on a weekend, and he said, "That's why I do this job. Friends tell me I could go and earn so much more money doing something else, but that is why I do this job."
Brilliant.
Absolutely. It's not a cheap thing to do, though, is it?
No.
It's very expensive running rehabilitation services in a residential setting, even though it is a gorgeous residential setting. It's a Georgian house, yeah. Was it the home of the original people that set up the charity? Was it their home?
Yes, it was their home. And we have Sandra on our board of trustees who grew up there as a child. Right. And I'm very pleased that she's back with us and supporting us.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was the Sindons that had that vision and set up. And I think when it is an amazing place and it's beautiful, but it's so costly to run.
Yeah.
And commercial people will visit and say to me, why do you not just sell this and go and get a purpose built? But there's something about it.
About the ground, as Paul said.
It supports recovery.
Yeah.
It's a very special place.
You have to be very careful about that because some modern block is not going to have the same kind of environment that will make people feel better about what they're doing. The whole environment there is something that takes away the stress and the strains of life, which are great drivers for addiction, aren't they? So I think you need to be very, very careful that, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, basically.
No, I totally agree. I think the 15 acres and that whole environment and the quiet, you know, you stand outside, you can't hear a car, a train, or anything.
And you're looking over the valley there at the fields and the river and everything. It's just a gorgeously mindful place.
Nature is healing.
Yeah, yeah.
Simple as that, isn't it? Being amongst animals, as you said, and trees and trees. Plants.
We've got lots of trees.
You've also got a thing going on, I think, till the 7th of April. While the kids are on holiday from school, you've got the nature trail thing going on as well, haven't you?
Yeah, and meet the alpacas, and we've got an egg hunt and nature trail, which we'll be developing over this summer.
Okay, so if you're a loose end still and the kids are still on school holidays, get yourself down to Kenwood in Yalding and enjoy the day there. Basically, you can do lots of different things. Yeah, geriatric goats, alpacas. we like an alpaca. Don't
I work
we?
With a geriatric. Sorry.
I also spit like an alpaca. Just watch it.
I actually bought the new husband some alpaca socks from and slippers from Alpacarani from our old studio about 10 years ago, and they are still going strong. He's got the boots, which were really expensive. I think they were about 75 or 80 quid. I nearly choked, but they're still going strong. They're amazing.
The wool is amazing, but it's very costly to spin it.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Cool. So what we want from all you lovely people out there is some donations, please. Kenwood, I think you can donate through the website.
You can indeed, yes. Yeah. There is a donate button.
Yeah.
So please.
So give us a shout for the website.
So it's kenwoodtrust.org.uk.
Fantastic. kenwoodtrust.org.uk. You can find that on the Kent Business Radio website because that's on there permanently anyway. Donate a few pennies or pounds if you can afford it. But however much you can afford, it's always worth donating because it's a fantastic charity doing absolutely brilliant work. And, you know, it's one of those things that is incredibly expensive to do and to do well. So, Penny, thank you for that. And, of course, do support all the events that go on. There is the big car show in May, but they also have, as Penny said, the third Sunday is a classic car show. You can buy a bacon roll and a cup of coffee. Very well attended. Next one's the 21st of April, 10 till 12.30, if I remember rightly. Do get along to that and join in. You know, it's always good fun and there's always a good turnout for that. And I'm not sure, is it the third Thursday that Sandra has her coffee and cake mornings?
It is, yes.
Yeah. So the third Thursday, that's not easy to say, is it?
Not with the third Thursday.
I borrowed her teeth earlier, that's the problem. The third Thursday, 10 a.m. In the cafe at Kenwood, they have the coffee and cake. And all the cakes are homemade and all the funds raised from that go towards the charity. So do support them if you would, please. Cool. Penny, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Do stay with us, John and Penny, for the rest of the show. We'll try to keep away from the NHS and health issues. Do you want to read some emails?
Yeah, we've had a tweet from Martin Reeves alluding to John. And he says, didn't Richard Branson try to get the AI contracts with the NHS UK?
Ooh, no idea.
That's one to,
wouldn't surprise me.
One to look at. And we've had a lovely tweet from Health Mary, who's been on the show. Great to listen to the first Business Bunker show. And she's used the BBunker hashtag avidly there. And it's coming out of Tenterden. What a fantastic organisation Kenwood Trust is. What would people do if places like this didn't exist? Wishing you all well on this beautiful Tuesday, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. Thank you.
Was that Chinway?
Yeah, that's Chinway. It's Health Mary app. And you can, they haven't got their website on there, but you can follow it on Twitter, Health Mary APP, which is a special app designed for women.
And Chinway is a paediatrician consultant.
Yes. Yeah.
What else you got?
We have Metamore for Success.
Yep.
It's lovely to hear Penny Williams on the Kenwood Trust project. I will be looking to learn about this charity, Biz Radio. So I'm just going to give them a follow. They are on metamoreforsuccess.com and they're life coaches based around the Kent area. They say goodbye to self-doubt, unlock success and fulfillment and lead with unwavering confidence without compromising your health. So big hello to you guys and thanks for the tweet.
And that's Keely Woolley that's behind that. And she's in fact going to be the keynote speaker at our next Sheppey Business Network meeting on the 24th of April at 5 p.m. We've still got some beer and wine left from the last one. So come along and finish that off for us.
Because I didn't go.
Yeah, that's why we've got the stuff left.
Yeah.
And Keely will be the keynote speaker at that event. So it's free to attend the event, so do come along. That's at Island Works at the Dockyard Church, Sheerness.
And judges of Crown Kent pubs for their great beer in the coveted campaign for real ale. I am a real ale fan, as you know. Eight of the county's venues have scooped the Pub of the Year spot in their respective areas. So for Canterbury, Whitstable and Herne Bay, the Thomas Beckett came out top. The Deal, Dover and Sandwich category was trumped by the Berry in Walmer. I don't know the Berry. In Gravesend and Darrant Valley, the Compass Ale House beat the rest, having regularly appeared in the rankings. This is its second time winning. And for the Maidstone and Mid-Kent section, the winner was named as Larkin's Ale House. The landlords of Cranbrook's first micropub also thanked their loyal customers, saying, "We're honoured and privileged to receive this yet again for our amazing micropub, which means so much to us and to so many." And in the Medway, the Cooper's Arms in Rochester came out top. And in Thanet, the famous Royston Broadstairs was named Pub of the Year. I need to go down there. I keep promising them. Royston Broadstairs, great little micropub. And finally, the West Kent winner was the Nelson's Arms in Tunbridge.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
There's a real pub crawl going on there, I think.
There was, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I need to tell you about this. Our friends from Metamore for Success are running a retreat. Reset and Restore Retreat. It's an all-inclusive three-day retreat where you can unwind, rewind and thrive. The next date is the 12th to the 14th of April. If you go to metamorphosuccess.com, you can find out all about it.
This is interesting. This is your school here, where the young lady goes. More than 1,000 homes could be built on a sprawling private school site after teachers announced plans to relocate. This is gobsmacking.
Yep.
So the Ashford School has been in its historic 15-acre home in East Hill for 111 years.
It has, yeah.
Now bosses hope to construct a state-of-the-art campus 3 miles away.
Yep.
All the school's buildings near the town centre, some of which are listed, have been put forward in a planning process led by Ashford Borough Council to identify suitable building plots. Planning agents Hobbs Parker have submitted the site on behalf of the United Church Schools Trust, which runs the school, saying the land could accommodate 1,000 to 1,200 homes. If the plan goes ahead, Ashford School says it will build a new secondary block on farmland. Sorry.
Well, read it all.
I can't bear it.
Read it all.
On farmland it owns next to its existing primary facility, Ashford Prep School in Great Chart. The East Hill site has now been included in ABC's call for sites, an invitation to developers and landowners to submit plots for inclusion in the authority's new local plan, which sets out where homes could be built in the borough of 2041. I guess my goat when they build on farmland.
Yes, but you don't understand. It's not farmed.
Yeah, it's not farmed, but
it's
we
not a farm. It's not
people.
A farm.
I know.
It's not a farm. They don't grow anything. They haven't got any animals on it.
But it could be.
No, it can't. Otherwise, they would do it. Yeah.
No, they wouldn't. They get a lot more money by building houses. They get loads of money by building houses.
Yes, but it's selling. Not a farm. You keep thinking that it's just because a piece of land is farmland, that's how the planning is designated. But it's not actually farmed. If you knew where it was, you couldn't farm it anyway. It's right by the main road.
What will they do with all the pupas while they're building the new one? Well, build a new one first?
Yeah.
So they won't be homeless. They'll move them over and then they'll sell it.
They already own the site that they're due to move to because the prep school is there. And it's a huge site with a lot of unused land that is currently designated as agricultural land, which means you can't build houses on it. Not that that ever stops anybody.
No.
Yeah. So what they're proposing to do is take the town centre site and make that into housing, and then build the new school on the unused land that's next to the prep school. So it'll all be in one place out of the town centre. It's going to take years.
Yes, probably not in our lifetime.
Well, my daughter's in her first year. She won't see the new school. It won't be ready for when she leaves.
It's just a bit shocking. Even driving here from Ashford Hospital, William Harvey, the building that's going on, the houses all around this area is, and I don't mind so much when it's on a main road and that, but if you go to Thanet around Westwood Cross, there's a new city being built there. It's bonkers.
We don't have enough houses, that's the problem.
Yeah, but we are not going to be able to feed everybody.
Yep.
We're going to be eating, Bill Gates' maggots or whatever he gets us to eat, his soy.
Southeast Business, Southeast Construction Expo. It's a free innovative conference and exhibition with networking breakfast, women in construction lunch and gala dinner for contractors, developers, consultants, architects and related industries. It's taking place on the 1st of May at Sandown Park Racecourse in Surrey, and it's totally free to attend. You can book your free tickets by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk.
John, where do you live?
Chatham.
Oh, Chatham. Mm. Okay. Yeah, Rochester.
Don't hold it against me. Though.
No, I love that area, Rochester and Chatham. I love when I come back from London over the thing and you come over the bridge and you see the river. And I love that area. That's where
He lives in Easy Chatham.
What's Easy Chatham? Oh, Easy Chatham.
You see what I did there? Yeah.
You've been thinking of that all night.
Yeah, yeah.
new plans for an empty M&Co store have been revealed, but the move has disappointed some who say the site should become a cinema. This will get your goat, Paul Andrews, about cinemas. The first floor of the former Embassy Cinema building in Tenterden has been offered to the Rocket Sensory Nursery, which currently occupies a smaller unit on the high street. But to take the space, it needs to raise £20,000 to enable bosses to kit out the larger site. Beth Watman has run the sensory room, and she says the move is a big step forward, but admits it's quite scary. So is this sensory for children? How lovely. So is it like outside sensory, like fern and herbs and gardening?
There is some, but it's a school. It's a sensory school for young children.
Lovely.
There's a lot of controversy. The building was originally the Embassy Cinema 120 years ago. Yeah, it's been lots of things. It's been lots of things, and its last iteration was a company called M&Co, which are a fashion house.
Yeah.
They've closed down, and the building's now being put up for sale, and a developer's bought it. They're turning part of it into flats and the rest of it into shops, and then this school. A lot of people in the town would like it to revert to being a cinema. But 2 weeks ago, we read an email from Ashford Council, where Ashford Council had to compulsorily take over the cinema in Ashford because it was going bust. Mm-hmm. So making it a cinema is not a good idea. What Ashford needs, if you ask me, and if I had the money, I would do it, but I haven't, so I won't. What it needs is what they call a Kino cinema, which is a small digital cinema like they have in Hawkhurst. And they've got another one somewhere else. I can't remember where it is. It's in Rye. Anyway, the people that have got that is a very tiny digital cinema. It only has something like 20 seats. Yeah. Very highly specialised. That would be perfect for Tenterton.
So it's like a micro cinema.
It is, indeed. And it's very luxurious. So basically they make their money out of...
You get the love seats.
Yeah, well...
You take beer and wine in.
You've got a nice plush seat with plenty of room, and they come round with waiter service, and they go, right. Would Sir or Madam like a glass of Prosecco? Would you like some food and all that while you're eating? Mm. And that's how they make their money. Very, very successful business like that. That's what Tenterton needs. It's not a big enough place to have a massive cinema. It just isn't. Yeah. There's a 12-screen cinema 20 minutes away in Ashford already, and then there's the one that Ashford Council have compulsorily taken over because that's what councils do. Can't empty the rubbish, but they can run a cinema, apparently. So I understand that the building lends itself to what it was, because it still says it up on the top. It still says Embassy Cinema at the top of the building. I'd much rather it be a sensory school, if I'm really honest.
It sounds amazing, the sensory school. It sounds lovely. I know there's a couple of forest schools.
Yeah.
I think Billy Dean's son, I think, went to a forest school, and it's just great, you know, climb trees and scrabble about, get muddy. That's what kids need.
Okay.
Martin Reeves says, our kids attend the swimming classes at the Ashford School in Great Chart. They have hundreds of kids on the waiting list, as they are epic. The grounds, like Paul said, is massive and unfarmed. He's off to go bowling now and then dinner.
Yeah.
Mm. He's putting a nice link to our radio show as well, Radio Web. Have you seen? He's put a lovely link. St. Paul's Radio.
Okay, yep.
Clever, isn't he?
Yep. Thank you for that. Networking. There's a networking event open to chamber members, non-members, that's Seven Oaks Chamber, non-members, local businesses and individuals who would like to join us and network face-to-face in beautiful surroundings. You're going to do that, are you? Are you going on that one, or are you going to hold networking?
No, Kenwood is doing networking.
Oh, fantastic. We'll talk about that in a second.
With alpacas.
Oh, brilliant. We'll talk about that in a second. They're really popular these days. This network is likely to include an incline to reach the beautiful Bluebell Woods and takes around an hour, meeting back at the Mount Vineyard for a slice of pizza sponsored by Thackeray Williams. It's taking place on April 26, 10:30 to 12. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you can find out all about it. Networking is a very popular way of networking. You know, people go out, take the dog, take the kids or whatever, and chat about business while you're going on a pleasant walk. So you're going to hold some networking at Kenwood, yeah?
We are indeed. I'm just trying to look it up. yes, in May we are doing networking.
Working. Right.
Working and walking. The University of Kent.
When we have all the details for that, we'll put them up on the Kent Business Radio.
Friday the 17th of May.
There we go. Friday the 17th of May, networking at Kenwood Trust.
Just to let you know, I won't...
With alpacas, very unique.
I won't do that one because I'll be doing 50K the following day.
Right.
Oh.
I come on, John, a bit of light training before the day.
And I'll be in Ibiza, so doing a bit of lightweight training. The University of Kent has confirmed six courses are set to be cut. Ah, this is the anthropology one. It's a shame. Undergraduates at the campus in Canterbury and Chatham, John, who will see the subject phased out over the next year, say they are devastated over the news. So the courses they're axing are anthropology, art history, health and social care. That seems
odd. I can't believe that.
Yeah, health and social care.
We have a massive shortage of social workers and social care, and they're going to cut the health and social care, of course. I just don't believe it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, journalism, music and audio technology and philosophy. I mean, yeah, social care seems bonkers in that area as well. No new students will be taken on to read these subjects, although those already studying them will be supported until the end of their degree. And also for the teachers as well, what's going to happen, you know, if you teach anthropology? In fact, my Mimi, my daughter-in-law, studied a degree in anthropology and she's got a great job.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good.
Okay, make your business a winner. The Kent Business Awards are open to all businesses in Kent and it's free to enter. Over the past 8 years, Kent Business Awards have become a sought-after award for local businesses in Maidstone, Tunbridge Wells, Ashford and Canterbury. So what there is an award in each of those areas, and not just the town, but the surrounding area. So Maidstone and the surrounding area, Tunbridge Wells and the surrounding area, Ashford and the surrounding area, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And there's 12 categories in each region, and the categories are start-up, micro business, that's a business with less than 10 employees, small business, which is business with more than 10 employees, or medium business, which is one with over 50, creative digital and innovation, customer service, best family business, best construction business, best hospitality, leisure and tourism, best food and drink producer, businesswoman of the year, and the All Health Matters Wellbeing Award, which is a new one this year. And that goes to a company that can demonstrate a positive and proactive occupational health and wellbeing strategy. And then there's the McIntyre Hudson Accountants Sustainable and ESG Business of the Year. So they are the categories in each of the areas. You can win an award as Kent Business of the Year in each of those areas. And then there's an overall Kent winner from those winners. There are going to be two award dinners, one in June and one in November. Which we're really looking forward to. If you want to find out more or to submit your free entry, businessawardskent.co.uk is the place to go.
And folks...
6 hours. 6 hours last year. They had it combined and I was a compere.
Yeah.
Was you there?
Yeah.
6 hours. I was there too. Six
I was
hours.
A judge.
Yeah. Six judge. Hours. Yeah. They've split it in two, thank goodness. At my age, I couldn't last.
You made it enjoyable, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, you so did.
Folkestone Harbour, love Folkestone, a hub for independent food and drink brands in Kent, has entered the world of retail with its first ever permanent standalone retail space. The new arrival is Gaia. I hope I'm saying it right. G-A-I-A. It's a female-founded boutique indie retailer with stores in Folkestone and Westerham. Co-founder and self-taught furniture maker Alex Vazoukous Field said... Vazoukous. Vazoukous. I'm saying it wrong,
Vazoukous.
I know. I can see why they added a field at the end, hyphen. Said being a part of Folkestone Market's places for the past 2 years has been really great. There's a family here and we're all supportive of each other. So Gaia Studio is going to be a place where you can come and read and sit and enjoy and make. Oh, and we have fantastic coffee, she said.
Hey, I'll tell you what I did last week, which was brilliant. I'll tell thee. I went to an art exhibition in Folkestone.
Oh.
Organised by Susie Warren Smith. Yeah, it was a punk and pop art exhibition. Mm. It were brilliant, it were.
Where was it?
It was at the Folkestone Arts Gallery in the old High Street in Folkestone. And basically they had art from all kinds of well-known artists, Grayson Perry and people like that. But it was all art depicting mostly music and popular culture through the 70s. So, he had the Sex Pistols. It was the Sex Pistols and Aaron Durin and the Blockheads, New Boots and Panties and all that. And it was mostly like album covers or whatever that have been re-artified. It was really brilliant, really excellent. I'm trying to get her to take it on tour.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was very good. The reason for telling you, the exhibition is still open for the next couple of days. So if you want to, it's at the Folkestone Art Gallery in the Old High Street in Folkestone, 69 the Old High Street. Pop in,
Google
have a look.
It. Yeah.
It's really worth it. Yeah.
I would like to go to that.
Good, go. Seven Oaks Chamber Networking. We hope you can join us at Salters Health Business Centre on April the 3rd. That'll be mañana, won't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, mañana.
That's mañana. That's tomorrow. We are excited to show you this fabulous modern office facility, and tours will be organised during the event. The sponsors for the meeting are Jackson Fire and Security, and they occupy one of the new offices at Salters Health Business Centre. Members can attend for free, and guests are welcome for £15. So that's the Seven Oaks Chamber meeting, April the 3rd, at Salters Health Business Centre. You can find out, and it's 10:30 till 12.